Lifehouse Church. The door is open. Well, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good.
We're doing well? Doing good? So Pastor Doug's currently out of town. He asked me to preach this morning. So he should be back. Brenda, is he back tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow night.
So be praying for them. Safe travels. They're helping their daughter Chloe and her husband move from,
Nebraska.
He sent some pictures, and there's this white stuff on the ground. I'm not quite sure what that was. They had all his clothes on and beanies, and I don't know. Might be cold there, but be praying for Pastor Doug. So how was your Thanksgiving?
Good.
Did you eat a lot of turkey? So, were you thankful?
Yeah.
Very, very thankful. Did you have some time with family? Is it one of those, if you're like me, it's one of those where you get around certain family members that you're happy you only have to do that once a year? I'm teasing. It's an opportunity to get around family, right? Friends and family, and be thankful. But here's the thing, as Christians, we know we don't just set aside one day to be thankful. We're thankful each and every day for all that God does. But I hope you had a wonderful day. What's the best thing about it is most of the time you're off of work. I had to work, but we were able to do it Friday night. So we ate lots of food. Had a good time. Amen. All right. So as you know, Pastor Doug's been preaching a sermon series titled, God Meant It for Good, A Journey in the Life of Joseph. So over the past 8 weeks, we've been learning about how God worked through the life of Joseph. How Joseph found meaning and purpose through God's plan. And we've been learning about how God used Joseph to preserve life. Right? Today we're closing the series with the message titled, The Final Word. So you know me. I like to ask you some questions to think about, to consider. You can ponder and consider them now, and I also encourage you to ponder and consider them throughout the week. The goal is just to stir us up and be thinking about how can we grow and mature in our walk with the Lord. So my question for you today is, how do you deal with difficulties in your life? How do you deal with difficulties in your life? Do you find yourself asking God, what's the purpose of this trial, this difficulty, this pain, these circumstances, this season that you have me in? Do you ask God, what's the purpose of this? Why am I here? Why do I have to go through this difficulty, this trial? What's the purpose, Lord? Often we struggle with finding purpose and meaning during these times of our lives. It's so easy to get focused on the difficulty and the problem. It's so easy to see that because it's right there. It's right in our face. You can't really avoid it, right? And it's so easy to get focused on that and to lose sight of what God may be doing in this process. And so often it's difficult for us to see what the plan is. And sometimes God doesn't reveal the plan to us. Sometimes he just calls us to be faithful through the process. And as we're working through the process, he starts to reveal his plan. We start to see his hand upon us and how he's moving things and working things for good. I'm currently going through and walking through some struggles myself. And if I'm honest and vulnerable, I don't like it. There are days I ask God, Lord, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of this thing that you've put before me that I'm going through? What's the purpose? And often it's good. It's me seeking God, like, hey, what's going on? What are you doing with this? But in reality, a lot of times it's, God, what's the purpose? Why are you doing this? So we have to be careful in how we and what we focus on. And so for me, there are days too that I just cry out to God and like, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through this. I don't see the light at the end. I don't see how it could work out for good. And I focus on the problem and the difficulty. But it's in those moments that we have to remind ourselves about Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says, And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And I have to remind myself in this time, in this season, that God's calling me. He may not explain everything right away, but he's calling me. He's calling you, each and every one of us, to be faithful and to trust him in the process. And that might be easy to say, but sometimes it's difficult to walk out. But it doesn't change God's heart for each and every one of us. I want you to be faithful. I want you to trust me in the process. I got your back. It's not going to be easy, but I got your back. I'm working it for good because I have a purpose for your life. You see, not all things are good, but God is working all things for good. So finishing up with the story of Joseph. What's the heart of Joseph's story? So these past 8 weeks, we've been learning many things. And we see that Joseph is one of the clearest biblical examples of a man who suffered deeply. He went through a lot, didn't he? And it took many years to get to the purpose and the outcome that God was working through. But we see that he suffered deeply. His brothers wanted to kill him. They betrayed him. They threw him in a pit. Then they sold him into slavery and he was dragged into Egypt. Then he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And then while in prison, he was forgotten about. There's a lot of suffering there, right? There's a lot of difficulties there. But we've seen in the story that God was working with Joseph at each step. Each difficult that came along, God was with him. God was helping him through that process. And so Joseph could have focused on the difficulty, could have sat in the pit and said, woe is me, and just died there. Could have been dragged into Egypt and did his best to be as difficult as possible and probably would have been killed. But he didn't focus on the difficulty. He focused on, okay, God, what are you doing? Because you gave me a dream, so you have a purpose for my life, so what's that purpose? Is that done? Or are we still doing that? Well, I'm going to trust you in the process. You see, every story, and when I say story, I'm talking about Joseph's story, his life story, and I'm talking about your story, your life story. Every story has a meaning. But meaning must be chosen. Every story has a meaning, but meaning must be chosen. Joseph suffered more than any. Not more than most people will. But he didn't interpret his story by the tragedy. He chose to see God's perspective. You see, meaning isn't found in what happened. Meaning is found in how we interpret what happened. So again, he could have got thrown into prison and forgotten about and just died there and gave up. Lord, you forgot me. You're against me. What I'm going through has no purpose, no meaning, and just died there, right? But he chose not to. He didn't allow the things to define the meaning. He found meaning in interpreting it the way God interprets it, by seeking after God and what God is speaking about. So this is central. This is a central theme to Joseph's story. Looking at a modern confirmation of biblical truth. Years ago, a Holocaust survivor and psychologist named Viktor Frankl, he discovered that people can endure almost any amount of suffering if they believe their suffering has purpose. He also found that people lose the will to live when they believe their suffering is senseless. So while in prison in several concentration camps, including Auschwitz, Frankl observed that prisoners who lost meaning died quickly, even if they were physically strong. If they lost meaning, didn't see the purpose in the suffering, they died quickly. But prisoners who discovered purpose, such as love, faith, responsibility, even a calling, they stayed internally unbroken, even in unthinkable conditions. And we see this concept to be true in Joseph's life, right, in his story. A key thought to be taken away from Joseph's story is life does not just happen to us. We interpret it. And the meaning we choose determines whether we live as victims, villains, or heroes. So it doesn't just happen to us. Life happens, right? We can't control everything. But we don't have to just stay there. It doesn't just happen. We're called to participate in the process. We have to interpret it. How do we interpret the difficulties? The difficulty and the trial and the struggle that you're going through now, how are you interpreting it? There are times, for me, it's easy to fall into victimhood. God's forgotten about me. He doesn't care about me. He's not present. The lies of the enemy and the lies we tell ourselves, right? We don't want to interpret the meaning that way. We want to trust God in the process. He's calling us to be faithful. So when that difficulty comes, we have to pause for a moment. And we have to seek the one that we know loves us and cares for us. So God, what are you doing in this difficulty? Because I don't see the light. I don't see what good can come from it. But I trust you because you're a loving Father. You care for me and you love me. And I can't see it right now. So help me to grow in faith. Help me to trust you through the process. And know that you're working it for good, even when I can't see it. So life does not just happen to us. We interpret it. And the meaning we choose determines whether we live as victims, villains, and heroes redeemed by God. Donald Miller, in his book, Hero on a Mission, he wrote, every life story has four character types. So we're going to pop up a little graph here, and we're going to look at these four character types. So you notice there's characters listed over here on the left side. So characters are victim, villain, hero, or guide. And we see the attitude of the victim is life is happening to me. The result is they're powerless and passive. And then we see a character of a villain. Villain says, somebody owes me. Somebody owes me something. The result is they're bitter, they're controlling, and they're destructive. The next character is a hero. You see how the attitude changes from victim villain into the hero here. It says, the hero takes responsibility to grow, takes responsibility for self, looks to grow through whatever process there is, whatever difficulty they're encountering. They become a hero, and the result is they're courageous and transformative. And the last character is guide. The attitude of the guide is, my growth helps others grow, and the result is wise, generous, legacy building. What character are you in your story? And we see at the beginning of Joseph's story that his brothers, they were villains. They were clearly villains. They didn't like Joseph. They betrayed him. And later in the story, when they're sent to Egypt because of the famine, and they come before Joseph and he reveals himself to them, they become victims. And they say, we're guilty and we deserve to be punished. But Joseph, he chose to be a hero. Throughout the whole story, at every point, now I'm not saying Joseph didn't struggle. I don't know. It doesn't cover that part. I'm sure he did. He's human just like us. I'm sure he had struggles. He's sitting in the pit and he's probably thinking, oh my gosh, what is going on? But he chose to be a hero. When he's falsely accused, he chose to be a hero. When he was thrown in prison, he chose to be a hero. And when he was forgotten, he chose to be a hero. And by choosing to be a hero, he grew and he matured in what God was doing and preparing him for. And later on, we see that Joseph became a guide where he nourished others. And as a guide, he became a man of purpose and a blessing to others. So we don't get to choose our origin story, but we choose our character in the story. So you don't get to choose the origin story. Things happen and we have to adapt to it. But we get to choose our character in the story. Look at your neighbor and say, you get to choose the character in your story. I don't hear you. You get to choose the character in your story. And check this out. Know this. The character you choose determines how your story unfolds. It's important what character we choose, because it will determine how your story unfolds. The overarching theme of Joseph's story and narrative is Joseph shows us the way to reinterpret our life story. Not through the lens of suffering, but through the goodness of God and the mission we're called to live. His example, we can follow that, because he reinterprets the story. And how does he reinterpret the story? As he looks to God. Through his relationship with God, through him trusting and being faithful to God. He could reinterpret the story. The story says you're getting sold into slavery. First it says you're going in the pit and we're considering killing you, but we'll sell you to slavery. The story says you're going to falsely accuse and spend the rest of your life in prison and we'll probably kill you at some point. That's two. I almost tripped twice today. Who put that there? But we see that he shows us how to reinterpret. So God, what are you doing in this circumstance? In this portion, this season of my life, what are you doing? Help me see your plan. Help me interpret my life story according to your truths. Turn with me if you have your Bibles. We're going to finish up Joseph's story today. Genesis 50. So in Genesis 50, I hope you have your Bibles with you. We're going to read verses 15 through 21. Go ahead and read with me to yourself. So when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him? So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father charged before he died, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, check this out, do not be afraid. For am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So therefore, he says it again, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to him. So can you believe Joseph's brothers? Like, where did this come from? There's been some time that passed since they've come to Egypt. And they're still living as victims? Like, oh, our dad died. He's going to repay us for our sins. Like, what's going on with these guys? So a couple weeks ago when I preached about the power of forgiveness, we talked about how Joseph forgave his brothers. So they were forgiven. But yet here, many years later, they're still victims. They're still afraid he's going to repay them for their evil against them. Joseph forgives them. He restores the family. He sends them back and says, get everybody. Get your wives, your children, your servants, livestock, all your family members, all your relatives, come to Egypt. I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. They're restored completely. They come to Egypt and Pharaoh says, hey, give them the best of the land. Give them the land of Goshen. It's the best that Egypt has. Joseph is taking care of not only his brothers, his whole family. He's caring for them. He's providing for them. 17 years go by. And we see this in chapter 47. It says, Israel, Joseph's father, lived in Egypt for 17 years. 17 years after Joseph forgives his brothers, their father dies. 17 years in Egypt. And Joseph's brothers are still afraid. 17 years later, these guys are still living as victims. I'm like, come on, guys, what's going on here? Like, let's get this thing figured out. 17 years afraid that Joseph's going to repay them for their sin against him, even though he forgave them and they were restored completely. 17 years, they're still living as victims. What story have you been telling yourself about your life? What character role are you choosing this current moment in your life? I ask you to repeat after me. Hold on to this phrase. God is the author.
God is the author.
I am the character.
I am the character.
And my story is not finished.
My story is not finished.
Again, God is the author.
God is the author.
I'm the character.
I'm the character.
But my story isn't finished.
My story isn't finished.
God still has a purpose and plan for you, for me, for each and every one of us. But we have to trust him in and through the process. He is not finished with us. You see, the hero chooses interpretation that aligns with God's purpose and perspective. Joseph's interpretation was, I was not abandoned, I was guided. He most definitely was abandoned. He was thrown in a pit. But he saw it as God's guiding him. God's working the plan out. He said, I was not forgotten, I was formed. He most definitely was forgotten in prison, but Joseph interpreted it and seeing through God's eyes, God's forming me. This is part of the process. I'm going to trust him. Joseph said, my pain did not disqualify me, it prepared me. And what others meant for harm, God meant for good. So Joseph's final word concerning all that he went through was God meant it for good. And we see this to be true throughout the complete story. Time and time again, Joseph is saying God meant it for good. When his brothers came and he forgave them, he said, God sent me before you to preserve life. He said, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and keep you alive by a great deliverance. Excuse me. And 17 years later, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. Joseph's final word is God meant it for good. Joseph chose to understand his story through the redemptive meaning of God. And Joseph calls his brothers out of victimhood. They're still victims 17 years later, and he calls them out of it. I've forgiven you. You don't have to be afraid. I've forgiven you. I've let it go. He's calling them out of victimhood, and he's calling them to see their story through the redemptive eyes, the redemptive meaning of God. So yes, they were villains. And yes, they became victims. But God still had a plan for their lives. A great nation came from this family and these brothers. God had a plan for them and used them. Even though they were victims or villains and victims, God can still use us. God's a forgiving God. God's a loving God. So, application, what we're learning today, how do we apply it? Let's activate it. Maggie, I'll have you come forward if you would. Activation and application. So how do we understand our story through the redemptive meaning of God? How do we rewrite our narrative? So I got it up here for you. First what I want you to do is identify your current story role. Be asking yourself, have I been living as a victim? Have I become a villain? Am I willing to step into the role of a hero? Am I becoming a guide who helps others grow? Identify your current story role. Where are you? No matter where you're at, it's okay. God can still use you. We can work through the process. Second, what I want you to do is reframe your story through God's perspective of truth. If you're at a place and you're a victim because some terrible, horrible things have happened to you, you're not disqualified. We can reframe our story through God's perspective of truth. We don't have to stay a victim. We don't have to stay a villain. We can become a hero, and we can work on becoming a guide. So what I want you to do is reframing your story through God's perspective of truth. Spend some time in prayer and work through the following process. Name your wound. You may have more than one. Start with one. Name your wound. You may have been wronged, taken advantage of financially. You may have been abandoned by a parent or a spouse. A spouse may have committed adultery against you. You may have been physically or sexually abused as a child or as an adult. Name your wound, but don't focus on the wound. Immediately, look at the next one. Name God's presence in it. And I tell you what, we're not going to just see it unless we're seeking after God. We need God's perspective. Name God's presence in it. Be asking God for his perspective. What came from it, or what is to come from it? And lastly here, name the good God is working through it. What purpose and meaning did God accomplish through you? What purpose and meaning did God accomplish, is accomplishing, will accomplish through you? Amen. Be praying, Lord, rewrite my story with meaning. Rewrite my story with meaning. Repeat after me. My story is not defined by what was done to me. My story is defined by what Christ is doing in me. God is the author, and he means it for good. So I want you to know this. Even if you've been living as a victim, and maybe even as a villain, it's not too late. God still has a plan for you. It's not too late. You may not have accomplished the purpose God has for you yet, because you chose the wrong character. You interpreted the wrong meaning of the difficulty. It's not too late. First, love God. Love God. Confess your love of him often. He says he works all things for good for those who love him. Love God and confess your love of God often. If you've hindered the process at any time, repent. God's willing to work with us. And he's patient. He's kind. Sometimes he might grab us up and go, hey, it's time to wake up. What are you doing? But he's patient and he's kind. He loves us. He cares for us. So if you've hindered the process, simply repent. and seek after God's perspective and find His meaning in your life. The enemy attacks us with pain, but God redeems us with meaning. I want that to ring in your heart this week. And repeat after me. The enemy attacks us with pain, but God redeems us with meaning. God can and will redeem us if we allow Him, if we work with Him, if we seek after Him. Joseph teaches us that meaning is a decision of faith, not a reaction to circumstances. Joseph proved it, and so will you. Go and stand with me if you would. In a moment, I'm going to have a few questions for your response. You can say yes to any of these questions. I want to invite you to come forward. And I want to encourage you, it's a safe place. We're not going to do anything weird. We just want God's presence and His mercy and His Spirit to come upon you. We want to pray for you. We want to see God heal you. We want to see God touch you and encourage you and strengthen you and empower you so that you can live for Him. It's a safe place. You can come forward. And you know, it's okay. If we need to come to you, it's okay. We want to just pray for you and minister to you today. But I want you to miss out what God has planned for you today. If there's any need, any healing needed, any struggle that you're currently going through, anything where you need God's truth and perspective, I want to encourage you to come forward for ministry. So my question for you today is, do you need help finding God's perspective and purpose for your life? Are you willing to see God's perspective and purpose for your life? Do you need help finding meaning and purpose with the difficulties in your life? And do you need help changing your character role within your story? If you're at a place where you're struggling and you become a victim or a villain, it's okay. You don't have to stay there. But God's calling you out of that spot, out of that role today. He wants you to step into the role of a hero. He wants you to look forward to becoming a guide, one that helps others. But we have to step out of our victim and our victimhood, and we got to look into what is God calling me to be, which would be a hero, one who grows and matures in our walk with Christ. So if you can answer yes to any of those, I ask you to come forward. We're going to worship for a moment.